Well, welcome. I'm Linda Reinstein, the co-founder of the Asbestos Disease Awareness Organization, ADAO, and it's an honor to join you today to represent the tens of thousands of workers and families who've been affected by asbestos. Now, we can discuss today education, advocacy, and social action. I know I'm preaching to the choir, and we have some esteemed scientists and doctors even in the audience. We have Dr. Miller, Dr. Eagleman, and Celeste has been a strong advocate also on the Hill. So I suspect our questions this afternoon will be quite lovely and terrific. So just briefly, I wanted to introduce ADAO to you. In 2004, the Larkin and the Reinstein families co-founded ADAO out of pain, fear, and frustrations as our loved ones had been diagnosed with mesothelioma. And during the past 7 years, we've earned a seat at stakeholder tables for hearings, policy discussions, and conferences in the US and around the world. And what's really been strong for ADAO is we focus on the three pillars of education, advocacy, and community support to reach our constituents and scientists. As we work to raise awareness to then prevent asbestos exposure, work towards a global ban, and especially fund research for a cure. Now, sometimes people take offense to the word victim, but that is the only word that describes a person exposed, the patient, the family, and the decedent who've been devastated by asbestos exposure. And this is all due to the deadly dust. I'm from Los Angeles. And in Hollywood, you couldn't even write this script, but it's real. For the sake of discussion and education, I just want to share a little bit about my personal side of the journey. In 2003, after 9 months of misdiagnosis, surgery confirmed that my husband, Alan, had mesothelioma. And at that time, I had never heard of mesothelioma, couldn't pronounce it, and I too had thought asbestos had been banned. Alan chose to undergo a radical surgery that removed his left lung, his pericardium, and surgically replaced his diaphragm, all in hopes for more time with his family. Now, Alan paid the ultimate price for his job, his life, and our 13-year-old daughter watched helplessly as her father fought hard, but he lost his battle with mesothelioma when she was just 13. Now, this is a simple formula, and for those of you here, I know this is a no-brainer, but it's education plus advocacy equals action, and that's why we're here today. I want to step back and look historically at four very strong campaigns so we can use asbestos, as Dr. Frank and Dr. Castleman have commented on, as possibly an example of social action. Now, the exciting part for us is technology has really advanced advocacy. And if you look at some of the campaigns that we're going to talk about here, Livestrong by far has been the most successful. Lance Armstrong was only diagnosed with metastatic cancer in 2004. He launched one of the most successful advocacy campaigns. Everyone knows what a yellow wristband is, and in less than 6 years, he has powered community support, funded research, and a level of awareness that none of us have really ever seen. But let's go back to education for a second. More than 30 years ago, the IARC declared asbestos a human carcinogen. And the WHO, EPO, and ILO all agree. It's simple. Asbestos is a proven carcinogen, and there's no safe level. You've heard Dr. Frank, Lemon, and Castleman all reiterate the same fact. Yet workers' health and safety is still compromised today, and they're routinely endangered, and rights are violated. Now, this was an interesting new statistic that Dr. Takahashi profiled last month in Kyoto. The 90,000 workers that die annually figure is actually increased to 107. So we're seeing an increase of deaths annually around the world from lung cancer, mesothelioma, asbestosis. Now, what's really important, I think, is this fact down here, is over 1.5 million years are lost due to premature morbidity and disability. Think about this, all from a virtually invisible yet lethal asbestos fiber. Now, look very carefully under President Lincoln's nose at the 20,000 plus fibers compare to human hair and grains of rice. And as most of you know here today, they're odorless, tasteless, virtually indestructible. They can remain suspended in the air from seconds to days. And I find their minute size horribly ironic, considering their devastating impact. Now, occupational and non-occupational exposure continues. And over 30 million homes are contaminated with asbestos. Buildings, schools, infrastructures, tunnels, many times were sprayed with asbestos. And as Dr. Frank pointed out, the first 40 floors of the World Trade Center were also sprayed. Now, we know that asbestos was released into this toxic plume. And although 9/11 marks a day of tragedy for all of us, the collateral damage has not yet been disclosed. So what can we do? The United States has been unable to pass ban asbestos legislation. So our most effective weapon is going to be, remains, increased education, commitment to compliance, and vigilant enforcement. All of you here today are probably nodding because you would agree. But the government also must do its part. And presently, minimal fines and lack of enforcement make existing laws and directives weak and deadly. And in the United States, the enforcement of asbestos regulations have always been a problem for OSHA and the EPA, and it's time for things to change. A tragic example of workers' rights being violated are the Capitol tunnel workers, as you can see in this picture on the left. Now, 10 of these gentlemen, their job was to maintain the tunnels under the Capitol, which supply heating and cooling. The asbestos was so thick, the supervisor could write his name on top of the pipe. Now, years later, Senator Patty Murray pulled them out in 2006. Half of them are sick, and so are their families. They are unable to find jobs. Clearly not how we want to treat our federal employees. So it's time to take action to the street, and I think this part is really exciting. In the past year, there have been three very effective advocacy campaigns I wanted to highlight today. The Health and Safety Executive in the UK launched this campaign just recently, and it's actually terrific. It's called the Hidden Killer Program to educate their workers and employees. And Canada launched this, Kill a Worker, Go to Jail. Now, I think this is clever and it's actually very effective. And the NRDC, which you all know in the United States, has taken on this toxic campaign in support of the toxic chemical reform legislation that's being considered in Washington. Effective, strong, necessary. Now let's take a second and look at this May 2010 report from the President's Cancer Panel. It was a 200-page document all about environmental cancers. But what's really interesting is environmental cancers are really on the radar screens for agencies more than ever before. The panel reported, quote, the construction workers are found to be 11 times more likely to develop mesothelioma due to asbestos exposure at the site, end quote. And the public is becoming increasingly aware of this unacceptable environmental and occupational exposure. So they know what we know, and the documents support it. Now, in 2007, ADIO tried to figure out how we could garner attention of policymakers and agencies. And we did an 18-month product testing. And our data confirmed that there were five products that were contaminated with asbestos, and one of them was a children's toy. Only the toy was removed from consumer shelves. Our report is available online. Now, today marks a new day for ADIO, and we're very pleased to introduce this to the APHA members. We have a graphic. It's an exterior and interior of a home. Most importantly, the questions that frequently come into ADIO is, where might asbestos be in my home? What do I do if I find it? And how can I test what to confirm or deny I have asbestos? So we feel that this graphic will help move education along quite well. And just last week, I noticed in a Google alert, there was an article in local paper, Tips on How to Do Your Own Asbestos Removal. Scary, isn't it? One for the pump handle. Now, asbestos knows no boundaries, and the fibers don't discriminate because of age, race, social class, or gender. And the median age and income and education increases the propensity for delayed diagnosis and often limits treatment options. Now, these treatment options are devastating in dollars, but also the psychosocial impact and lost income. And the Institute of Medicine states an estimated 90 million Americans have a problem using and understanding health information, certainly a statistic that negatively impacts disease prevention. Now, we know at APHA, it's all about community. And I want you to be proud, because APHA is the only U.S. public health organization that took a bold stand last year and passed a ban asbestos resolution. Absolutely. And I'd encourage you all to circulate this resolution to your networks. Now, the House and Senate, as we spoke, have introduced TSCA reform legislation, but if passed, will not serve as a standalone banned asbestos bill. It doesn't even mention the word asbestos. So here at APHA and around the world, and especially in ADAO's network, it's all about community. Everyone is connected, and social media is the greatest tool for public health advocates, and it's truly revolutionary. Dr. Miller is nodding. With a few clicks, you can be connected to anybody around the world, like-minded professionals and experts. Disseminating information is effortless, powerful, and cost-effective. And digital technology allows for instant safety alerts, news blasting, micro-messaging, all from your phone. Trust me, I was slow to embrace Facebook. I thought it was only for my daughter. I was wrong. It's really incredible, and it's linked ADAO up in less than 2 years to a couple thousand people, raised some money, but most importantly, given us another outlet for sending information. So give it a try. You don't have to post where you had lunch. You can just... It is intimidating, isn't it, Celeste? You can't just go on and sleuth out and sort of be a lurker. It's very effective. I dare you. I dare you to care and just open a Facebook account. Now, this is where it gets kind of interesting. Sometimes falsehoods perpetuate inaction or reverse the positive steps of action. I want you to think about it one more time. It's the falsehoods that perpetrate inaction or reverse the positive steps to action. Now, the good news is, in the past 7 years, we've seen the strength of banned asbestos legislation moving forward. But as we move forward, more education often breeds fear and greed. It's a circle that we have to combat with education and facts. Just as the Canadian propaganda supports controlled safe use and some of the other nonsense, we know better than that. So as we educate, we should be armed for a second level of education that dispels propaganda. I invite you to join our Facebook and our network for e-newsletters. And Doug Larkin, who's sitting in the audience, and I will be here after the session closes to ask if you'd like to join our e-newsletter list and offer you some of the resources that we have. We're also excited to, we wanted to be green, Celeste, so we didn't put handouts on the back table. And instead, we've built an APHA resource page where all of the documents that you've seen today, the presentations by Dr. Lemons, Franken Castleman, and myself, as well as some of these graphics, will all be available to APHA, and you can certainly circulate it. And it's the simple URL. It's adao.us/APHA. Certainly simple enough. So here's where we are. I'd like to invite you to be part of our community. Consider coming to our conference in April next year in Atlanta, where prominent physicians, scientists, safety and health experts join together for a day of education. And the title of next year's conference is simple. It's Asbestos, the Impact on Public Health, the Environment, and the Economy. Now, it's enough said that one life lost to asbestos disease is tragic, but hundreds of thousands of life lost to asbestos is unconscionable. And once we know about the dangers of asbestos, we all have the opportunity but more importantly, the responsibility to protect the public from these preventable diseases. Together, change is possible, and it's time to end this catastrophic social injustice caused from asbestos. And just as I close, I'd like to also point out Dr. Kong in the audience here. ADO works closely with Yeyong in Korea on banned asbestos issues. So we're all connected. And I think the caring that APHA has is incredible, Celeste. So thank you for giving us the opportunity to have this session. And I turn it back over to Ms. Sherry.